Governor and the Sheriff's Commission don't agree on it. Something ought to be done, then, you know, not to be doing it.
That's fine.
Have we got that worked out?
We did.
Okay. What happened on 324? That was not concurred in, right?
Well, what happened was Fry held it over because everybody gets, was a bit jumpy thinking we were getting some sort of crazy.
They don't trust us?
After tonight's activity, I don't blame them.
Hey, Ways and Means is what you gotta worry about.
You think so?
We'll get back.
We'll get back. Tomorrow's another day.
No, we'll get back.
Yeah, I don't think we're finished yet.
There's a certain amount of.
Okay.
Oh, no.
He's never said that over to me.
Doesn't happen.
But the definition of.
I'm gonna take a 10-minute recess. Hey, gang, I've got two hardworking lawyers, one on each side of me, and we're trying to figure out what we've done and where we're going. I want to take just a few minutes now to let them kind of get their thoughts together. Then we'll come back, 10 minutes at the max, recess.
Do you want us to go down or want to just circle around, or what do you want to do? You want to come back at 8 o'clock? It's 15.
They don't quite have a quorum down on the floor. They're trying to locate people who are outside the building.
Well, I'll go down and volunteer to be a quorum, but, well, all right, let's make it 8 o'clock. Is that all right, 8 o'clock? I don't want to. We'll come back at 8 o'clock, and in the meantime, council can try to figure out what's left.
I'm listening, and I just had a question.
Conference committee is resuming here now.
Are we ready for a motion on the bill?
Let's, I think that Representative Springer did have some amendment he wanted to offer on one of the sections in the tail end of the bill.
Well, I'll pass this out if we're ready to consider this. This is sort of in the spirit of compromise. I know that the OMA and DO issue has been kind of catching in our craw here for a while, and I've worked with the folks from the DO's Association, who I think are willing to compromise, and I would hope my amendment here would, there are kind of two parts to it. I apologize. The first part makes it clear that it's quite all right for an association or group like the OMA to require a non-member to be subject to reasonable risk management, loss control, or other similar programs to which members are subject, because we recognize that's part of the insurance program. But we're not going to permit that non-member to be assessed any additional fee that's not assessed for a member for participation in those programs, assuming that that's part of the premium and what's derived from the premium, and I guess also in light of the other benefit that OMA is deriving from this bill. The other portion relates to the OMA amendments, and if adopted, would no longer limit that kind of opportunity to serve as an agent or like an agent to professional groups. In other words, other kinds of associations would be able to derive the same sort of status and benefit that OMA seeks. And I guess I just lay those on the table. They are separable, I guess, but I think that they are consistent and compatible, and they're offered in the spirit of compromise.
Discussion?
Question to the maker of the motion.
Sure.
It's not unusual for one association of any kind, be it realtors or doctors or anything else, business associations, chamber groups, to put on seminars of one sort or another and charge members $50 and non-members $75, because that's a normal, you know, obviously it's an inducement to membership, and there's got to be a benefit for membership, and benefit is a reduction in that sort of process. And if I read this, a non-member may not be assessed any additional fee that is not assessed to a member. That type of arrangement would be precluded?
Well, let me distinguish here, and I appreciate your question and request for clarification. Again, remember, we're talking about the insurer. If OMA wants to offer programs above and beyond that which the insurer requires and charge a fee for non-members, that's fine. I'm only talking to the insurer requiring as a condition. And the insurer, again, it's assumed, I think, that the insurer's risk management programs would be a part of the premium which everybody would pay. So I think the answer is yes, OMA could continue to offer programs on its own and continue to charge an extra fee for non-members.
Okay. So
that would be the intent.
Yeah. Essentially, then, what you should read, although it's not written, is a non-member may be assessed any additional fee by the insurer that is not assessed. I mean, that's what you're
saying. Right, okay. Right. And if putting that language in would make folks feel better, I'd certainly accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay, well, if you'll accept it as a friendly amendment, I'll make it and such. And that way it's clear as to what we're talking about.
Additional fee by the insurer. Okay.
And I missed the other piece on, what have you done on lines 2, 4, and 5? What's that mean? And I'm sorry, I wasn't listening very well.
2, 4, and 5, basically, you mean at the bottom there?
Yeah,
the second part, the second. That, as you recall, we've said that professional organizations, we didn't just speak to OMA, we said other professional.
Excuse me, Representative Springer, if you'll turn to page 63, that's 147 of the Dean Gross bill, you can see the lines that those amendments affect.
Yeah, right. If you look at
lines
on page 63, if you look to lines 20 and 21 at the bottom, you'll find that the purpose of the amendment was to put brackets around professional. And it seemed to me that, these amendments are kind of being looked at together.
Yeah.
And that if we're going to offer a professional association, that opportunity that we're going to offer OMA and other like professional associations, and maybe we ought to also consider expanding it to other than professional associations, you name it, in terms of other small business associations.
Labor groups.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. I just needed to know what.
I guess make that motion if this is the time to do so.
Motion on this.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if I can fit in on line 9. Where are we looking
now? You need to separate this into two separate amendments, and you need to go over to page 65.
65 for the first part.
For the first part of it, yes.
Yes, we are.
I need to know from Representative Dix whether this is enough or different from or whatever. Satisfied or whether we ought to be doing, going back to some other amendments, which I'm aware of floating around there, which I have a copy, but I don't want to muddy the water any more than.
Well, I'll give you a roundabout answer to that question, Senator. The way we put this package together in the House, there were several components, one of which was on the floor tonight in 9:15, and I was a little bit upset that Representative Bunn sitting at the side of Senator Meeker, who rose to object to a part of that bill which was agreed to by several members of this committee. That was a component that was part of this package indirectly. And I think the component that's at the end of this bill is a part of this package indirectly. And I think, as the representative from Washington County indicated tonight, that that was part of a give-and-take process, with, which I think pretty much has ended as of tonight with that scene on the floor of the Senate. So I'm not certain what direction I'm going to move in on those amendments myself. I think this makes it better. I think there's some legitimate concerns the OMA has on forcing people, or the insurance company has, on making sure people go through their programs to alleviate losses. And I think that that addresses this, but it's hard to say. I think the next 48 hours are certainly indicate the total package. If that's...
I thought 9:15 passed.
It did, 16:14. However, if I hadn't spoken with Senator Cairns, it would have failed 15:15.
His wires are playing games.
Sorry. Probably more than one actor playing games, but...
Well, I'm, you know, I guess it's all right with me. I just want to have a. I assume that whatever we agree on here, we're going to be able to come back and just kind of manipulate what's coming out, reconstruct some.
Yeah,
some,
I, you know,
some
if
little
folks,
pieces like that.
Sure,
that's all I'm.
Sure.
Other than that, I think it's a piece which is.
Sure.
I should double check that. What's
of course. I wasn't even sure if we're going to take it up tonight or as kind of our cleanup discussion whenever we have the cleanup discussion.
Yeah, well, I think it needs to be here.
Yeah.
And something on it, on its way. Just want it. I don't have any
objections to it. That's true. Now, the first part of Dash 137 is an insertion after the period on line 9, okay?
Yes.
But subsection 2 of section 151 would remain. Is that it?
Come back.
Is that right?
Yes. Nothing's deleted.
Nothing's deleted.
Yeah.
Chance to reconsider that tomorrow, you know, Dave.
No, you moved to media reconsideration.
That's great.
That's right.
Okay. Well, is there any objection to Representative Springer's? Any objection to Representative Springer's Dash 137 amendment? All right. Consider that a done then.
Are we ready for a motion on the bill now? Or?
Anytime anybody wants to make a motion on it.
Hey, it's just a little camper, aren't you?
I gotta get home.
I saw Diane golf and said,
yeah, I'm in trouble.
All right, I'm a little confused in what we've done on contingent fee agreements, so I guess my impression is different from somebody else's, so let's go back to that.
Can I ask one quick question? I'm sorry, I wasn't quite able to. Did we adopt sections 147, 150, and 151 with the Springer amendments, or just the Springer amendments?
No, we agreed to leave 147 in a long time ago.
Okay.
And 150 and 151, I think, on, they're paired.
Right.
And I think that's the understanding that I have, that what you're doing here is amending the last piece of that.
Are there, I don't have any other amendments.
And that they stand, I think that's what it is. Yeah, I have one which is a little bit cleaner and not quite as proposed, but I'm looking. What, you're looking at which now contingency fee agreements we agreed to,
What page is that?
10.
Page 10.
I think we adopted C version, didn't we?
That's what I thought.
We didn't? Okay.
I thought we had.
Well, the notes that I have from this morning said we adopted the Dean Gross, one with A, B, and C, and changed two to voidable and dropped sub three. That's what I had.
I think that was what you wanted to do, but I don't think we agreed to that, did we?
Well, I didn't write down anything on this list that we didn't agree to, so.
Is it your recollection?
What page is that?
What page?
Page 10.
I think that was maybe one of those discussions where we.
My recollection is we deleted sub three of the Dean Gross, section eight, and we changed void to voidable at the end of line 30. And I show that was a.
Tentatively adopted.
Yeah, that was a motion by Representative Phillips, and it was approved 4-2 this morning.
Okay.
But that's what my notes show. I don't know if that's consistent with anybody else. We did get off, Senator, you may recall, I think I was responsible for leading us off on a tangent a bit in terms of whether or not we were going to apply this to defense attorneys. I thought what was good for the goose was good for the gander.
Yeah, it was a.
But I'm not going to pursue that tonight.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I have a note, it says Cohen and Frye objected, but Phillips and, it was a Phillips amendment, everybody else supported it, so that was the status of where it was.
All right.
Down here agree, it's a scary moment in time.
How does this voidable fee agreement work? Tell them, what do you have in mind, what's the practical effect of that now? Give me a for instance.
Well, Senator, as we discussed, I think last week on this issue, you brought up the question about whether if you deviate from the issue, it would be void, and I changed it to voidable to address your concern about subsection one, that if you don't comply with these issues, that it may be voidable, and I guess that'd be an issue that you'd want to.
Well, how do you raise it? What's the procedure?
If it were I would suggest that client and counsel would debate it, and when it came, obviously the issue would be whether there was a verdict on the issue or not, and if there were and you disagreed, I would almost guess that the plaintiff would raise an issue with not only the bar, but the judge who presided. That's what I would suspect would happen in the process.
Let me offer, you like subsection 3 a lot. I like that better than I do the others. I would offer to combine subsection 3 with section 12 of the Senate version and eliminate the rest of the Dean Gross part.
Really? Kidding.
Did you say I'm kidding?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess it wasn't too
good
an idea.
No, that's okay. I just am amazed. But that's okay.
I've got no compunction about basing the fee on the overage you get from the offer that's already been made. That's the way I do it. Most lawyers do that I know of.
Well,
it makes a lot more sense than to get into this voidable business and the 24-hour notice business and so forth.
That would be fine with me, Senator. So what your motion is now to go with the C and Gross Section 12, which requires plain and simple language, or to be brief, and then my Section 3, which deals with written settlement offers.
Yeah, once you explained to me that exactly how that would work, I thought that that was a good idea. At least I've got no quarrel with it. So I'm just throwing that out. I'd rather have that than the rest of this business here.
Okay.
Does that mean we're going to let the state bar off the hook here?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Senator Frey,
Okay, you want the state bar on the hook?
No. I'm prepared to support. If you're comfortable with that, I'll accept
no,
it.
No, it really is not all that. I just, it's my own personal preference, but this is something that the committee wants to do it a different way. That's all right. I thought by throwing that out maybe that there would be all of us agreed on it, but.
Well, let's go ahead and do that then. Section 12 plus sub 3 of the Dean Groves.
Yeah.
This is art.
There'll be stories written about this.
Phillips wins again.
Okay. There's stories written about this have already.
Section 12 plus sub 3. Is that what I understood?
Yeah. Section 12 of the Scene Gross plus subsection 3, section 8 of the Dean Grossed.
Gotcha.
So sub 3 would be a new, well, you'd have a sub 1, maybe a new sub 2. Yeah.
The bar is left off the hook again.
Yeah, we let those guys walk.
Well, we'll sleep on
it. Keith is writing it already. He's also nervous.
Okay, now what?
I guess, is that a form of a motion, or did we do that, or?
Well, it's kind of like everything else we've done here so far.
Well, I'll agree with that.
That's the consensus of the committee.
Okay.
No objections.
All right. Just wanted a clarification on that.
Hey, guy, you're
I was happy to write out my name on it.
Okay, here we go. Everything's fixed up there.
Okay, what?
I'll tell you, that was the last thing I expected him to go.
Any other amendments, John, you want to make while you're...
Can we start over?
Start over?
Well, Phillips just started over.
Yeah.
We're good.
Are we ready to reopen joint several? Is that what I hear?
I think that's probably where we are.
That's a go home vote, right?
That's a go home vote.
Start calling me Senator Brenneman again.
Okay, what do you want to do?
The settlement offers.
What's everybody's schedule on the floor tomorrow?
I've got a couple conference committees coming up, but they're not big issues, and they shouldn't be a problem, but I don't even know
what time.
I don't know what times they're scheduled for yet.
Do you know what your floor session schedule is tomorrow?
It's 8:30. Well, that was on the assumption the Senate was going to pass out a workers' comp package, right?
Well, I understand. My understanding, Senator, is 8:30, so we can have a call and then get the caucus and have fun. That's what I was told.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know where we, what's, the only thing outstanding is the debate, is the question on joint and several, right? I mean, only thing, at least tentatively outstanding, unless we go back and, you know, and start putting things on and off again, the table, I mean, at least things are in some...
All right.
Equivocal, yeah.
I think that's right.
Well, we're out of position. We are at a point with the joint and several where we've... So does somebody want to move off of that? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well...
What's that,
Yes.
Amendment number?
If there's anybody's mind, any place, I would move off of that position of the committee adopted.
Well, what do you suggest?
I would suggest we go to... Seven, page nine, excuse me.
That's right.
Well...
Put these in the book, we're for six amendments now.
Yeah, now we're, you've adopted the 146 amendment, and frankly, I would go with the de-engrossed bill of 20% with the language that we talked about the other day on the hazardous waste and airshed and all that kind of stuff.
In other words, the dash 146 amendment only, no, that wouldn't be it.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I think if you want clarity, your amendment was a little bit better than the way ours is written. You had 20% in the original 146.
I guess, yeah, to be specific, I would take the exemptions, which is the sub 2 of 146, and place that in where sub 5 is of the de-engrossed, and go with everything else that's in the de-engrossed version.
Okay, run that by me again.
Yeah, certainly.
Take subsection 2.
Well, first of all, I would take the de-engrossed on joint and several. But under sub 5 of the de-engrossed, I would substitute the sub 2 out of the 146 language.
Okay. Anybody else want to go to that extreme here?
That's good.
Brendan wants to go to that extreme.
Love it.
Well, I can tell you right now that I'm not going to vote for any 20% requirement here where you are saying, number one, we're going to wipe out joint and several liability for non-economic damages, and then you're going to slap it on there at 20% for economic damages, and then you're going to throw out a perfectly good bill that deals with this thing, eliminating third-party practice in tort cases. We can work together on that. Now, why encourage litigation by raising this fault level up to 20% and inviting these people to bring in all the other defendants in the countryside that they think can help them share the damages? And if you see the connection between 20% and joint and server liability. Now, suppose you said 50%. I mean, then, of course, you'd have a defendant even more eager to bring in somebody else, because if you only had one other defendant there that was 2% at fault, it would bring his own level of fault down to 48%, and then he'd only have several liability. Or anyway, I think the two go together. But anyway, that's my point of view. Or something in between.
Well, Senator, I agree with you philosophically 1,000%. But I'm willing to try to get a product from this committee. You know, I hate to see folks stuck between 10 and 20. It would seem to me that compromise is possible. Reasonable people ought to be able to identify some middle ground. I appreciate latitude on the area of the hazardous waste. I think that's just good common sense. And I think particularly when we talk about this 10 or 15 or 20%, we're not talking about pain and suffering. That's out. There is no joint and several for pain and suffering. That's bye-bye. We're talking about the actual out-of-pocket loss that this innocent party is not going to be compensated. And I just to say to someone, I'm sorry, you're not going to be paid 20% of your loss of earnings. Or I'm sorry, you're not going to be compensated 20% of your...
80%.
Or more. I mean, when in fact there's someone who the jury has found is substantially at fault and they have insurance.
Got somebody 19% at fault with insurance, and the guy that's 81% at fault doesn't have any insurance. The one defendant that's 19% at fault is going to pay 19%, and that's all that the plaintiff's going to get. Isn't that what you just said? The way this works?
I think that's the impact. I think what that means is we're all going to pay, because those bills are going to be paid one way or the other. Public assistance, private pay, hospitalization, medical care, you name it.
Is especially difficult to take when you take it just in raw form without any other kind of considerations there or protections, and then you're giving it up completely in non-economic damage cases. It's just pretty doggone hard to take that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not prepared to go at 20 at this point. You know, I'd